The man, the message, and the motive. The man, Hosea, the message, hate sin, love the sinner. The motive, because I love you. The greatest love story in the Old Testament parallels the great text of the New Testament, John 3:16. God did love this entire world. God does love this entire world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hosea, the prophet, the story of love, the story of the love of God, in the divisions of the book. Infidelity is pictured in the first three chapters. Iniquity is proclaimed, chapters 4 through 7. In 8 through 10, infliction is pronounced. And in the final chapters, 11 through 14, intervention is promised. Thank God for the intervention that's promised. Not only for Israel, but for the Israel of God today. As I stand before you today, I want you to know that the opening message of this great book presents us a great lesson that will be the remaining part of my lesson, and that's understanding these opening verses. For the Bible says in Hosea 1 and verse 2, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. This very sobering story represents a heart that is sobbing because it has been broken because of a love that has been lost. I do not know about you, but I always become very tense and anxious when I lose something or someone that I love. Even if it be a faithful member of the church, for I know where their destiny is, but I am reminded again of the love and the precious memories of that particular person. This is a one-sided love story of faithfulness represented in the relationship between Israel and Almighty God. Israel was unfaithful to her covenants, her commitment to God, as illustrated in her marriage vows. But God's loving kindness, which is found throughout the book, God's loving kindness rings through the book of Hosea. God's loving kindness will not permit him to easily divorce his people. You see, God's heart was focused on the sinner, although he hated the sin. You know, we say that sometimes, don't we? We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. But do we really mean it? Hosea is that textbook to show us how to do that. God's love continues even though the object of his love is unworthy of it, and we are unworthy of God's love, and so were they. Hosea's love for Gomer is great, great enough to take her back, so God's love is great enough for any of us and all of us who are trapped in the quagmire of sin and idolatry, as Israel was. God's love is great enough to allow them to come back to him. You know, it only takes but one step to turn to God. Does not matter who you are. Does not matter how you may think of yourself. Just one step is all that it takes. God's love would not rule out his justice, though, as sin must be punished. The old preachers used to say, repent and perish, turn or burn, flip or fry. Luke 13 and verse 3. We don't hear that too much anymore. We've gotten kind of soft, I guess. But God is still telling us to repent or you will perish, to turn or burn in the fires of hell. We don't like to hear that very much. But he says it because of his love and because of his mercy and because of his justice. Acts 17 and verse 30, and in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now have commanded all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. This judgment by God will be according to the fixed principle of righteousness. The prophet says, hate the sin, love the sinner, demonstrated by this marriage. And I would ask you the question, would you do what God commanded the man of God to do in marrying a wife of whoredoms? I know many of my brothers, I can see you shaking your head. No, bro, I don't think I'd do that. But see, what we all need to understand is, this is not about what you would do. This is about what God has done for you and for that woman of whoredoms. He died for you. He sent his son, the darling of his bosom, to die on your behalf. The timeless expressions of God's redeeming love can be seen in examples. For example, you see the case with Israel in the book of Hosea. In the case of the world with John 3:16. But let's talk about a young boy in Luke 15, the prodigal son. When he came to himself, he returned to his father's house. Why? Because he knew it only took one step. The things that the father didn't say to him, he didn't say, I told you so. Some of us probably said, I told you. Didn't I tell you? Yeah, you got out there. No, he didn't do that. Why? He didn't say, well, you're no longer my son. I gave my inheritance away. But he didn't say that. What did he do? He embraced him. Killed the fatted calf. Embraced him with open arms. He ran to him. That's what God does for us, the sinner. That's what God did for the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. I talked about that a little bit yesterday. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Do we have any chief of sinners today? I say we do. God's mercy, as expressed in Hosea, to reach across the boundaries and to extend an opportunity for you to turn again back to God. And from this book, it's easy to understand the practical lessons for Christians today. What it means to be married to Jesus Christ. If you don't get anything out of this 15-minute lesson, get this point right here. The importance of my marriage to Christ Jesus. Consider Romans 7 and verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit unto God. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy that I have betrothed you to one husband, not two, but one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin, not to anyone else, but to Christ. My relationship as a blood-bought, baptized believer in Jesus Christ put me in a relationship of marriage with Christ. And I am to treasure and to honor and to glorify him in that relationship. There are three relationships. There's an apathetic relationship where two people are kind of like couch potatoes, you know. You got the TV up there and she's on one side and he's on the other side. They're just kind of like focused on one thing, trying to make sure they don't inflict pain on each other. I know some folks like that. And then there's the addictive relationship. It involves high energy where people are just so addicted to whatever the drug or addiction of choice is, they're not concerned about each other, God, or anything else or anyone else. Gomer was in an addictive relationship. She was focused on her lovers, not her God, not her Lord. There are folks like that today. And God put a command out to the man of God, marry this woman of whoredoms. Sometimes we have to make a sacrifice in order to be pleasing to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Not any kind of sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Sometimes we have to give up a good part of our lives to enhance somebody else's life so that they can be saved by the blood of Jesus. God did that with Gomer. God has done that with many of you. God did it with me. And grace teaches us that he will keep doing that. Titus 2, for the grace of God to bring salvation appeared in all men, teaching us what? We can deny ungodliness. Why? Because it only takes one step to turn to God. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about right now. We can do this. Why? Because God hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. He loves the sinner because he knows what we're made out of. We're made in the image of God. We have choice. We can choose to do the right thing. And so one can understand the heart of Jesus when he writes through John to the church in Ephesus to tell them that they had left their first love in Revelation 2 and verse 4. They refused to turn. And when you refuse to turn, you will burn. But God says, you can turn. Isn't that wonderful? Everyone can turn. Doesn't matter what you've been doing. Doesn't matter what you claim to have been. You can turn. Hosea says, Israel, turn, and you can turn. God promised that Israel would grow and flourish again. God truly loves us. Hosea 14 and verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. You understand what he's saying? God says, I'm going to send my son. The story is told of a young lady who was in a field, and she saw this plane doing skywriting. And eventually the writing disappeared. And the little girl said, oh, God has an eraser. Let me tell you something. We need to understand this. Doesn't matter what your sin has been, God has an eraser, but you need to turn to him. Hosea tells us, turn to him before it's too late. Are you a blessing or a lesson? A sign in a hospital read, what we do for ourselves dies with us. What we do for others live on. The unselfish servant strives to give some of self to someone else. This is a matchless gift that lives only when we deposit it outside of ourselves. The prophet Hosea was a living sacrifice for God to bring about some sense of normality with Gomer, who had turned. God saw to it to put them together. So live life to the fullest. Be the living sacrifice to others. Be the blessing God intended. God intended for Hosea to be a blessing to his wife. be a blessing and not a lesson of hate and partiality and ungodliness. God says you will love yourself because of it. You cannot cash checks on the bank of heaven if you don't deposit anything.